The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Hey! Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the weekend. We made it. It's Friday, January 10th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And it's got to be the most amazing Friday in my lifetime. We're going to tell you, I'm going to break some amazing news for you in hour two. So make sure you stay tuned for that for a huge announcement for 420 Radio and the Russ Belville Show. Well, we're going to save it for hour two because I'm so excited. I don't want to interrupt the news and the rest of the show. Also on today's show, it's time for our High Times preview. But for today, we're just going to give you a look at some High Times videos. Bobby Black's going to show you how to pick the right vapor pen for your use. We'll get some interviews from the 2013 Amsterdam Cannabis Cup with some of the vendors out there. We're going to take a look at the fight for Vivian's medicine. That'd be Vivian Wilson in Scotch Plains, New Jersey, who needs that CBD oil for epilepsy. And then Danny Danko will show you how to put together a do-it-yourself aeroponic system. That's all coming up at half past the hour. Then at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant. You know, yesterday I gave you a rant on six right-wing media blowhards that their brains were just exploding because marijuana is legal in Colorado. Boy, folks, that was just the warm-up. That was just the appetizers for the entree that we're going to serve today. Emily Miller, writing in the Washington Times, pretty much wrote the greatest hits of reefer madness in a column today, and I'm going to debunk all of it, so stay tuned for that. Also on today's show, we got Herb Thrasher joining us. He's going to give us our Rockin' Friday tune today from a group called Black Hell Oil. I think I've dabbed some of that in the past, Black Hell Oil. We'll talk to Herb about it when we get to the Rockin' Friday at 20 after. Also, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour is on tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific, so stay tuned for that. And we're also going to have our Behind the Headlines segment. We'll take a look at the efforts to save medical marijuana in the state of Washington. We got our 420 Radio News coming up next. And in hour two at 4:20 p.m. Pacific time, we begin our first Fan Friday Marijuana Trivia Giveaway. We are giving away this issue of High Times Magazine, March 1975. This is a classic, folks. You could win it if you've got the right answer and you send us an email. We will draw randomly from all the correct answers and on Monday, award that magazine. We'll be doing that every Friday here at the Russ Belville Show in Toker Talk Radio Hour 2 at 4:20. So if you don't win this week, try again next week. Stick around. The news is next. We'll be right back.
It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow.
starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today. 420 Radio, the activist radio station. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, January 10th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. The Department of Health and Human Services in Maine has rejected petitions to add Tourette's syndrome to the list of conditions that qualify for medical marijuana. According to the four-doctor panel that issued the rejection, cannabis has not been studied well enough to demonstrate its safety and efficacy in treating Tourette's. Furthermore, wrote the panel, quote, the safety must be demonstrated for children and adolescents, as these are the age groups in which Tourette's syndrome is most prominent, end quote. Dr. Dustin Sulak, who testified in favor of the petition, remarked, quote, this denial is what I was expecting. The philosophy behind the denial, however, contains many errors, end quote. Sulak explained that the medications currently used for Tourette's are being used off-label, meaning those drugs have never been approved by the FDA to treat Tourette's, and that that marijuana's illegality has thwarted study of its efficacy in treatment. Still, Dr. Sulak presented studies to that effect, but they were rejected by the board as too short in duration and too few in participants. The Kentucky House Health and Welfare Committee listened to an hour's worth of testimony Thursday from parents of children suffering from severe epilepsy asking for the legalization of medical cannabis. Josh Stanley, one of the brothers in Colorado, who is cultivating the Charlotte's Web variety of cannabis that is high in epilepsy-reducing cannabidiol, also testified, telling how they are treating 300 children, including 10 emigres from Kentucky to Colorado, with the high CBD oil featured prominently in the Dr. Sanjay Gupta documentary Weed. While no House member has yet filed a bill to legalize medical marijuana, Democratic State Representative Mary Lou Marzian of Louisville offered her support for such a measure. Two House Republicans urged caution and prefer that the federal government conduct clinical trials on the medicine first, with one representative, Robert Benvenuti of Lexington, expressing his belief that medical marijuana is a, quote, Trojan horse to legalize recreational use of marijuana, end quote. The story of Charlotte Feige controlling her epilepsy with CBD oil also figured prominently in the Florida State House, as the House Criminal Justice Subcommittee listened to testimony from parents of epileptic children desperate for this medicine, ready to move to Colorado. Representative Matt Gaetz, a Republican, shot down nearly every objection his fellow committee members offered. When one representative, the wife of a doctor, asked about the clinical trials on this medicine, parents explained their children don't have the years to wait before that happens. Representative Charles Van Zandt, an arch-conservative Baptist preacher, said, quote, I don't think this is substance abuse. I think it's using this wisely, end quote.
By the end of the hearing, Representative Gates proclaimed, quote, "I am going to ask Speaker Weatherford to approve a proposed committee bill that will contain this language for Charlotte's Web so that these people do not have to be criminals," end quote. However, when asked Wednesday whether he'd sign a bill for CBD-only medical marijuana, Republican Governor Rick Scott said, quote, "I oppose illegal drug abuse. I've watched what it does to families. I think the Attorney General has done the right thing with the advice opposing the medical marijuana initiative she gave the Supreme Court. Have a great day," end quote. Fleeing a police officer in your car with an open container of alcohol, smelling like marijuana after leaving a strip club in Detroit, is likely to get you arrested and jailed. But not if you're the president of the city council. Detroit Police Chief Craig James has ordered an investigation into why police supervisors told officers to merely cite Council President Pro Tem George Cushingberry after reports he made an illegal turn at 10 p.m. after leaving the parking lot of a gentleman's club. As police lit their lights and sounded their sirens, Cushingberry's car reportedly nearly clipped the police car and sped off. Another police cruiser joined and gave chase, and after stopping Cushingberry, they noticed an open alcohol container and the smell of weed. But upon relaying the info to the supervisor, they were told not to arrest him, but to cite and release him. Cushingberry claims the bottle of rum in the back seat was empty, and the marijuana smell was from his passenger, a medical marijuana patient. Cushingberry, who is black, also claims he's being racially profiled by the officers, who were white. Options for growing medical marijuana in Fresno County, California are going from slim to none. This week, the County Board of Supervisors voted to ban all marijuana cultivation in unincorporated areas of the county. Along with the ban is a fine of $1,000 per plant, with an additional $100 fine for every day after discovery that the plants remain. Supervisors left patients with only one option, cultivating marijuana in areas zoned for manufacturing. On Thursday, in a 5-1 vote, the county planning commissioners decided to ban cultivation even in those manufacturing-zoned areas, leaving patients with no place where they may cultivate marijuana plants in the county. However, the cities of Fresno and Clovis do allow indoor cultivation and outdoor cultivation in locked, secure greenhouses. There are no dispensaries in Fresno County, and the nearest ones are in Oakland and Los Angeles, 3 hours drive away. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, January 10th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at efforts to save the medical marijuana industry in the state of Washington and the senator who's trying to get a bill passed to do just that. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go. Free Weed from Danny Danko, starring Danny Danko from Brooklyn, New York. Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everyone. 15 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines to ask, will Washington medical marijuana survive? There's a story up in businessinsider.com called Washington's Weed Legalization Could Be a Disaster for Medical Users, and They're Making a Last Stand. And I have a little bit of an issue with the framing of the whole article in that legalization is somehow ruining things for medical marijuana. No, it's the lack of regulation in medical marijuana that has ruined things for medical marijuana in Washington state. Don't blame the legalization of the recreational market for the sins of the medical market not getting itself regulated. Now, to take a look behind this, originally when Washington passed its medical marijuana law in 98, patients were allowed to have a 60-day supply, but that 60-day supply was never very well defined. Furthermore, there was never any definition of where patients could access medicine. So a lot of Washington over the past 10, 15 years has come up in this very, very gray market, gray area situation. Eventually, the 60-day supply was defined as being 15 plants and 24 ounces of usable marijuana. But again, no regulations on the dispensaries. And what ended up happening is dispensaries began cropping up in Washington state under the idea that they were being caregivers. The Washington medical marijuana law says that you can be a caregiver for up to one patient at a time. And so the dispensaries took that to mean as, oh, if I have a storefront and people come up to this counter one at a time, then I am being a caregiver for them one at a time. That, of course, was a kind of a shady statute to rest your legality on, but it went that way for a few years until Senator Gene Cole Wells helped put together some bills in 2007, 2008, and 2010 to try to regulate and define better what was going on in this marijuana market. And eventually, what got passed in 2011 was a comprehensive reform bill that would have regulated the medical marijuana industry in Washington state, much like I-502 is regulating the recreational industry. However, when that passed, the U.S. attorneys in Washington threatened Governor Christine Gregoire, she was the governor at the time, threatened her that if she passed this bill, if she signed this bill, any of the state officials that helped to implement the dispensary regulations would be busted under federal law, so she line-item vetoed most of it. If you want to blame someone for harming medical marijuana in Washington state, don't blame I-502, blame Governor Christine Gregoire and those two U.S. attorneys. But one of the provisions that was left unvetoed in the bill was a clause for collective gardens. This allows up to 10 patients to participate in a collective and pool 45 plants. Once again, the dispensary's owners took that as a loophole and said, well, as long as we only have 10 patients at a time in our dispensary, we're a collective for 10 people. It has held up in court, but Mark Kleiman, who was the Washington pot czar, called this interpretation, quote, legal bullshit, end quote. Now, since 2010, the Washington market has exploded after the law was changed so that doctors couldn't be punished for the recommendations. Now we have up to 150 dispensaries in Seattle. The Liquor Control Board, which is in charge of coming up with these recommendations, part of the reason they do so is they believe, this is Rick Garza from the board, he says, quote, up to 90% of medical authorizations are fraudulent. And part of how he supports that is he points out the story in the Seattle Times from 2011 when a reporter went to Seattle Hemp Fest with $200 and no medical records whatsoever and got himself a recommendation. Now, they're still trying to work on this. Gene Cole Wells is trying to get a bill through that would allow people with medical marijuana cards to be exempt from the excise and sales taxes, a way to create some medical-only I-502 stores. But right now, Seattle is limited to just 21 I-502 stores. And right now, like we said, there's about 150 dispensaries, so there won't even be enough to supply the demand for medical, much less the recreational that's going on there. However, at the moment, the Washington State Liquor Control Board is still sticking by its recommendations that would eliminate the collective gardens, reduce the possession to 3 ounces, make the qualifying condition lists far, far stricter, But they have relented and allowed the patients to be able to grow up to 6 plants at home rather than 15. We'll keep you posted on how the state of Washington turns out throughout this year. That sound means it's time for us to take a break, and just in time, Brian the Red made it down. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hating the buses today.
Bad buses.
Bad, bad time.
Happy Friday. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420. And connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, I say, little recall it. Darling, your words to fails. Little recall it.
Who would you rather your kids talk to about drugs? You? Or some guy? When your kids find out you've been lying to them about marijuana, who will they trust? Let's have a rational discussion about drug reform. Let's tax and regulate marijuana, restrict youth access, and create safer communities.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour. We are so happy to be here in our first Friday, our first weekend of 2014, and no better person to open it up for us than Herb Thrasher, who's on the line. How you doing, Herb?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, and you got it, man. Always loving rock and weed.
Yeah, yeah, and of course, tonight we've got the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour coming up at 8 p.m. Any surprises on tonight's Flower Hour?
Man, we're just going to have some fun tonight, dude. We're going to kind of get caught back up, get reacquainted with each other, get this show going. Definitely talk about our good friend Rio. I've got a couple songs from his brother, and his mother and father picked out a song. So wow. We're going to rock those tonight and just kind of go over maybe the year's worth and just kind of rock and roll together.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Always looking forward to it. Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific, every Friday, live here on 420radio.org. And how about shows? We got any good bands coming to Portland soon?
Man, we do have some bands, and we'll definitely be talking about that tonight. One coming up real soon is Phil Anselmo and the Illegals. They're going to be here in Portland on the 16th, and then the 21st, Jake Orvis. A lot of you guys know we love the outlaw music, too, and he's going to be in town. And Death Angel and just a lot of Portland is screaming with shows. Portland is definitely screaming with top-notch bands right now also, and so things are definitely happening in Portland and the Northwest, and we'll definitely be keeping you updated on that as well.
Yeah, and speaking of things happening in the Northwest, our good friend Bradley Steinman, fantastic marijuana lawyer here in town, was part of that Hempstock hearing. I hear that they've kind of opened a crack in the door. We might be able to have Hempstock not on the same weekend, but on a different weekend at Waterfront Park. Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah, what happened was the weekends, it's a long story, but to put it short right here in this context, is all the weekends was taken, and the mayor wasn't happy with us not having an option, because he wanted the Hempstock folks to have an option. And so when the Parks and Recreation came back and said there was no open date, the mayor basically said, that's not acceptable, that's not good enough, so you guys have to go back and figure out a date that's off your normal schedule, which is making this a first time ever, and giving Portland the chance to have a date that they can agree on, and then it comes back on us to come up with a plan to work with the city and the parks and recreations to come up with a great event. And so right now we're feeling very optimistic. It's hard to say this is a win, but not getting a no is a win. And to see the mayor stand there and kind of really want to work with us, it was a huge win.
Yeah.
It really was.
Kind of like an NFL tie.
That's not bad. That's really not bad, except we're going to have a final outcome in this, and in a tie, there's never a final outcome.
That's true. All right, well, let's get to the music here for our Rockin' Friday Daily Toker Tunes. I like the name of this band, Black Hell Oil. I think I've dabbed
that's
some of
right.
that.
That's right. All you BHO fans out there, all you 710ers, you finally got a band that understands you, man, and is taking this whole stoner rock thing to the 710 level. And these guys are out of Saskatoon.
Good.
I hope I said that right, man.
Close,
I don't know, man.
Close enough.
Anyways, they got some good things going on up there in Canada. Definitely a stoner rock, riff rock kind of fun, party rock kind of dudes here. Three guys, and Canada has always been fine with three dude bands, as you guys know. Many, many bands through the years out of Canada.
Rush,
but
Triumph,
Hell Oil have a brand new song, have a brand new album, a little EP album, and you can go to blackhelloil.bandcamp.com and you can hear this whole album and you can purchase it. It's only $4 and there's like five tunes on there, and it's titled Smoke You Up. And as I said, man, these guys are just partiers, man. They're just rockers from Canada. They know what they're doing, and they've got a mission. They kind of had an album last year, and they're really making their effort this year to kind of do it. And we're looking forward to playing their tunes on 420 Radio throughout the year. And we'll definitely be playing another tune tonight. So you guys definitely go to their website, check them out, and see what's up with Black Hell Oil. Because these dudes definitely rock a great band. And Canadian metal is always a good thing to go. So you guys check them out. Don't forget to check out their Bandcamp page and download their album, man. It's only $4. And you guys have a safe weekend and keep rocking and smoke you up. Turn it up, folks.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Weed Nerd, starring Subcool, from the Emerald Triangle, Northern California, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the fight for cannabis freedom. Each month, we take a look at the latest interviews, news, grow tips, equipment, music, and events featured in this month's issue with our High Times preview.
All right, folks, welcome back. Unfortunately, I don't have the magazine. It didn't make it in the mail yet to me, so we have to postpone the High Times preview, but I am going to give you some High Times videos, informative videos from Bobby Black and Danny Danko on selecting vape pens and aeroponic systems and more, so enjoy.
Over the past few years, vapor pens have become the hottest new way of getting high. But with so many models and manufacturers on the market, it can be really difficult to figure out which one to buy. But fear not, fellow stoners, High Times is here to help. By addressing just a few simple questions, we can help you narrow your search and find the pen that's right for you. The first thing you need to ask yourself is, what will I be vaping? If butane or bubble hash is your predominant method of medicating, you'll have a large selection of options to choose from, including standard style pens, as well as smaller, slimmer mini pens. If old-fashioned herb is more your speed, there are also several pens that can be used to vape raw cannabis. Or, if you prefer to keep your options open, there are numerous models that come with several different interchangeable attachments, or tanks, to accommodate each of the different materials. There are also pens for liquid concentrates, such as hash oil or glycerin tinctures. In a medical marijuana state, you may have access to pre-filled concentrate cartridges. Otherwise, you'll have to load the liquid yourself, which can be tricky and kind of messy. Where you plan to use your pen is also an important factor to consider. If you lived in a state with strict pot laws, then stealth is going to be your top priority. You're going to want a pen that's easy to fill and conceal. On the other hand, if you live in a medical marijuana state and you're a legit patient, you may be less concerned about concealing your pot use and more concerned with a durable pen or one with a great warranty. In an effort to stand out from the pack, many manufacturers add special features or options to their vapor pens. Some have glass globes or custom mouthpieces. Some have LED battery meters or hit counters. Some come with dabbers, some with cleaning brushes, some with concentrate jars or cool carrying cases. All pens come with some type of USB charging cord, but some also come with adapters for a wall outlet or even a solar pad. How much you're willing to spend will obviously be a factor in which pen you choose. Most models fall somewhere in the $70 to $100 range. If money is no object, you might consider springing for a deluxe kit with lots of accessories and options, or a limited edition specialty model, which may run up to $160. Or let's say you live in Colorado or Washington, where it's legal to smoke recreationally, and you just bought tickets to the Cannabis Cup. You're not worried about getting busted, you're worried about making an impression. In that case, You want a pimpin' pen that shows off your style, like one you can wear around your neck that lights up, a novelty attachment, or a limited edition sports or celebrity model. However, if you're on a tight budget, there are also several more affordable options available that cost only around $40 to $60. Well, that's it. We hope we've made picking a vapor pen a little bit less confusing. For more information, including a detailed breakdown of all the pen's features and ratings, pick up our Vapor Pen Buyer's Guide in the January 2014 issue of High Times, on sale now. Happy vaping!
Max from Grassroots, California, who are actually based in Colorado. It's a little confusing.
Yeah, we're based out of Denver, Colorado now. That's where our flagship store is.
And how many years now has it been that you guys have been doing the cup hats for us?
This is the fifth cup hat we've been doing in Amsterdam. We've done almost every single cup hat for the States. We just continue to do them, and we come showcase our stuff here at the events. This is the official hat for the Cannabis Cup this year. It's got a little play on the Super Bowl, and then custom design, front, back, High Times with the cup, the signature weed leaf on the top that we've done with almost every year, the custom interior. Only 420 were made, limited edition. And then, as always, with every hat we do, secret stash pocket. And then, as always, this hat donates back to Normal for marijuana law reform.
You need it, that's for sure.
We're here with Matthew from Cloud V Vapor Pens. What's up, Matthew?
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. How's your cup experience been so far?
It's been amazing. Amsterdam has been really welcoming the whole Cloud V team.
So the Platinum Edition is your new model. Why don't you show us how it works and tell us what's different about the Platinum?
That's correct. The Platinum's just been killing it right now. The more airflow through the atomizer, along with the bigger airflow on the top and a fully removable mouthpiece, just allows a little bit more voltage in the battery to give you the real big hits that people are actually wanting. Matter of 2 seconds, you're getting fat clouds.
And how's business been so far this cup for you?
Oh, it's been amazing. The response has been overwhelmingly positive, and people are just so excited to see this new technology out here.
I am here with my good friend Dougie from Hitman Glass. What's up, man?
How you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing good. How's your cup experience so far?
Oh man, it's been a great Amsterdam trip this year. A lot of fun, dude. A lot of hash smoking this year.
I'm a big fan of the old school stuff, the Moroccans, the Nepalese, the Afghanis, that really gooey handmade stuff. Have you got a chance to try a lot of that?
Absolutely, man. I had the honor of meeting Elgato, who's a really legendary hash dude. And man, I'm really excited for 2014. I've been doing a lot of prep for like the last couple months trying to get our new product line ready. And I really want 2014 to be like the biggest year for my business. This is a series called The Art of War. It's something that Aaron does. He's an artist from California. He's Samurai Dabbers, and it's pretty fucking sick, man. Yeah.
We're here with Bart from Cloud Pens. What's up, man? How you doing?
Pretty good. We worked really hard in improving the pen and, you know, listening to the customers and the consumers and fixing little tiny things to where, you know, it's been full circle to finally see it come around and to see out of all the new companies that have come out that, you know, we're one of the ones that have kind of made a mark on, you know, the quality of pens out there. We got started actually in a dispensary out in Orange County. So, it was one of those things where you just got kind of tired of inferior products, so went and kind of started our own thing and started it by pretty much grassrooting the whole brand.
How many cups have you been to now?
This would be our sixth cannabis cup now.
Ooh, cool. Is this your first one in Amsterdam? Were you guys here last year?
No, this is our first one in Amsterdam. It's a pretty good time. The people out here are awesome.
You got to see much of the city or?
Yeah, you know, after we get done working, we go out and enjoy the city, hit up the bars. It's a real good culture out here, you know? Really good energy.
Vivian
has a severe form of epilepsy called Dravet syndrome. It's caused by a genetic mutation. So it's important to say that because, like, we hear about epilepsy and you just grow out of it. Well, Vivian's never going to grow out of this. She was born with it. She's going to have it for the rest of her life. You never get used to the seizures, but you get used to the lifestyle, and it's like you just have to move on. She used to seize for up to an hour long. She stopped breathing. She's been resuscitated. It's been quite a journey with her. But when she was about 11 months old, 12 months old, right around the time she was diagnosed with Dravet syndrome, we found out about a father out in California who was treating his son with Dravet syndrome with cannabis, and did some internet stalking to find out more about it. I mean, we had just been diagnosed. We had failed 7 drugs already and thought, this is our next step for sure. We're done with the pharmaceuticals. We're going to cannabis. And then I was lucky enough to meet Jason, the father, at a Dravet conference just a few months after Vivian was diagnosed.
How did we figure out that we were completely out of luck here? Like, did we contact Greenleaf?
Yeah, we contacted the first dispensary in Montclair that was going to be opening. And I actually tried to put Joe, the owner, in touch with the D'Angelos at Harborside because they were the ones working with Jason David a lot in the beginning. Right. Then the opening of Greenleaf kept getting pushed out. We couldn't find anyone to sign off on Vivian's card because there's this special registry of doctors in New Jersey. You have to get a registry doctor to sign off, and I'm calling them and they're like, 15 months old, 16 months old, 17 months old, 18 months old. Finally, at what, 21 months old is when I found a doctor who was willing to see her and sign off. So it's...
But even Greenleaf was, you know, back then, New Jersey was limited to 3 strains that they can grow. It wasn't part of the law, but it was part of the regulation that was added on by Christie.
Right, that's a big part of it.
And they were like, we're not going to grow a high CBD strain because we can't make any money off of it, and it would take too much to grow, so we have no interest in doing it.
And in a way, I can understand that because even in states like Oregon and Washington and California and even Colorado, you can't just go into a dispensary and get high CBD. And Michigan, it's all caregivers and growers. Right. That's where people are getting their strains. They're not being sold in dispensaries. I mean, the people out in California, the parents I know, I mean, literally have gone to like every dispensary up the coast.
Right.
And now CBD is becoming so popular that they're marketing it as CBD, and then you send it to Can Labs or SC Labs, and it's not.
CBD is the key component, but it has to have that balance, and that's where like the pharma industry is going, or a lot of politicians are like, great, we'll just let you get CBD. But that's not going to solve the problem because you need...
Just CBD is not going to work.
And every patient and every ailment needs a different ratio and mix.
THC has some incredible medicinal qualities.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, but...
No one will deny
but
that.
But the fact that CBD isn't a psychoactive makes you just scratch your head and say, this is just stupid.
Yeah, like, but it's cannabis, you know, but it's pot, it's dope, it's whatever. No, it's CBD... This part of it cannot get you high.
I think it's going to be a short amount of time here before the cream rises to the top and the people that have bad intentions when it's profit driven go away.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's got to make money, but the nice thing is when you meet the right people, there's nothing they won't do to help.
Right. For epilepsy, THC can be a seizure trigger. So even though the CBD project is saying one-to-one is good, for epilepsy thing, it might not necessarily be
right.
And it's there's all that kind of, but then again, this is where we're in such a gray area because there's so much unknown and everyone, all the research is being done by the parents, right? And it's, you know, the THC for pain relief that, you know, everyone has been going for years and all, that's always been an uphill battle. But the fact that you now have the kids, a lot of children in this forefront, that's what's winning the hearts and minds because people will look at, you know, adults who need THC for pain, and they're always going to question. It's medicine for them. But when you put it in the public eye, you put it in front of politicians, you put it in the newspaper, people are going to look and be like, oh, look, she has long hair, and she just wants to get high or something, right? They're going to come up with something. The children, you know, are, I hate to say the whole children could say things, but they're changing the whole face of this battle.
Christy had one quote over the summer that the parents basically wanted to take their kids' medicine.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you kidding me? If we had a bottle of high CBD, low THC oil, it would be like on a mantle in like a gold case. Like, I wouldn't go with 10 lot. Like, I wouldn't even dream of touching that, my child's medicine. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
If I wanted to get high, I could get it two blocks away.
He has said that there's no such thing as medical marijuana, it's all marijuana.
Yeah.
And I could argue and say, you know what, you're right, because even somebody that sits down to spark one to relax after dinner, that's relaxation and that's medicating.
Yeah.
And that's improving somebody's quality
that's why
of life.
So
and that's a First Amendment right. It's freedom of expression.
I mean,
end of story.
Misting these roots, right?
Misting and actually they're atomizing the water to where it's actually in between the water and the vapor.
Wow. So Juice, why don't you show me a little bit about your reservoir here?
Yeah, come on, let's check it out.
Oh, very interesting. You have the reservoir sunken down into the floor here. What are the benefits of having it down low like that?
Two main benefits. You don't gotta work out the kinks. I'm trying to get the water return to the up into it below the low ground, and then that's the breathing gravity. And then the other thing is it's a constant 65 degrees temperature when you get about 2 feet below ground anywhere.
Okay, so that cuts down your electricity costs. You don't have to pump water back to your reservoir, and you don't have to use the chiller all the time to keep the water cool.
Definitely more cheaper, economic in the long run.
Cool. Well, thanks for the tip, and very interesting system you got going here.
I'm glad you like it.
Big thanks to Bobby Black and Danny Danko for their excellent productions out there at High Times. We got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. I found the most reefer-mad reaction to Colorado legalization I've seen yet. Bring that to you in the rant. And coming up in hour two, our Fan Friday giveaway, plus a huge announcement for 420 Radio. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Four20 Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. Columnist Emily Miller from the Washington Times has written the most reefer-mad column with regard to the legalization in Colorado that everyone's been reacting to. You know, I gave you six of them yesterday, and they don't even hold a candle to what Emily was able to come up with today in her article that she entitled, "Obama's Cultural Legacy is Legal Marijuana Blowing Through America." Let me just read a little to you from her piece. Quote, You can go into a store in Colorado and buy marijuana to get stoned for kicks, but you cannot purchase a 40 or 60 watt light bulb, end quote, she opens, decrying the rampant Obama liberalism that has allowed adults to consume a non-toxic euphoriant, but eliminated a 20th century light source that is only 10% efficient and consumes three times more energy. And never mind that in Colorado, marijuana received 50,000 more votes than Obama, so at least that many conservatives and independents supported marijuana. She continues, quote, 21 states and the District of Columbia already allow for sales of marijuana for supposedly medical use, end quote. Yeah, supposedly, you know, like how little Charlotte Feige's recovered from her Dravet syndrome, or Michaela Comstock has recovered from leukemia, supposedly, or how supposedly Kathy Jordan has outlived a 3-year life expectancy by over 2 decades after she was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease in the late 80s. Keep going, Emily, with that it's not really medical. You've got at least 12% of the country agreeing with you there. Next, Emily quotes a drug court prosecutor named Cully Stimson, I'm sure he's got no conflict of interest, who presumably, with a straight face, stated, quote, you're going to have lower test scores and a class of people who are unemployable because they are stoned all the time. People are going to die on ski slopes and on the roads, end quote. Newsflash, Cully. According to the 2012 National Survey on Drug Use and Health, 64.4% of the people who smoked pot in the past month are employed full or part-time. Only 61.7% of the people who didn't smoke pot this month are employed full or part-time. More pot smokers are working full or part-time than non-pot smokers. Then Emily drops a paragraph that even Kevin Sabet and Paul Chabot wouldn't touch. I'll just read it to you in its entirety and just marvel at the stunning ignorance it takes to say something like this. Quote, marijuana proponents who claim that pot is no different than alcohol are ignorant of the science. The body can process alcohol, and in many studies, a few drinks have been proven to have health benefits. Marijuana, on the other hand, is simply a toxin. Pot is more similar to heroin and cocaine than alcohol in how it affects the body, end quote. Huh? Wow. Where do we start? All right. First, we don't claim that marijuana is no different than alcohol. Rather, it is far safer than alcohol. Alcohol, not marijuana, is toxic to healthy cells and organs. And the buzz you get from alcohol is literally the poisoning of your brain. Whereas marijuana's high is based on the triggering of our natural endocannabinoid system. And heroin and cocaine are physically addictive and can kill you by overdose. Marijuana can cause mild dependence and has never killed anyone in history by overdose. After that, we get the usual smorgasbord of Reefer Madness's greatest hits, including, quote, carcinogens and toxins, including respiratory problems, lung infections, and a diminished immune system, end quote. Sorry, Emily, Dr. Tashkin debunked this in 2006. Pot smokers have less incidence of head, neck, and lung cancer than even non-smokers. Quote, memory and concentration, which can affect learning skills and academic achievement, end quote. Nope, said legions of college graduates who smoked pot and every study that's ever been done on this issue. Quote, chronic marijuana use leads to psychosis, depression, suicidal thoughts, and amotivational syndrome, end quote. Nope, said Michael Phelps, Silicon Valley, and the NBA. Quote, the risk of addiction from using marijuana goes from 1 in 10 adults to 1 in 6 for those who start in adolescence, end quote. Oh, and by the way, she spelled adolescence as the noun form, not the verb form with the N-C-E. I thought that was cute, too. It's actually 1 in 11 adults, and the adolescent stat is bunk for reasons I don't have time to go into right now. But what we're talking about is a so-called addiction that cannot kill you, for which withdrawal is mild, and it's easier to kick as than a caffeine addiction. Quote, the potency of THC has increased by almost 10 times the levels in the 1980s, end quote. Oh, okay, so when I'm toking on a 15% THC joint, you're telling me Cheech and Chong were puffing on 1.5% THC joints back in the day. Right. Quote, virtually every person in drug treatment centers began their addictions by using marijuana, end quote. Yeah. Virtually every person in the Hell's Angels motorcycle gang began their cycling by using a tricycle.
better ban tricycles. Quote, there has been a massive marketing campaign for decades from the far left, Hollywood, and politicians to manipulate the public into thinking marijuana use is harmless, end quote. Yeah, Emily, that must be it. Movies, TVs, and liberals bamboozled us. It couldn't be that over half the people under age 50 have tried it and found it to be mostly harmless. You know, I think the greatest debunk of Emily's fear-mongering over Obama's liberal pot-legalizing legacy is that Barack was king of the Choom Gang as a teenager, taking total absorption hits in Hawaii, and then he grew up to defeat a bona fide war hero multi-term senator and a former governor multi-millionaire, both of whom Emily supported, both of whom never smoked pot, and defeated them both handily in successive presidential elections. Well, folks, that's all the time I got here for hour one, but stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We got all sorts of interesting stories coming up, including a look at the top 10 cities. What is the stoniest city in America? The Seattle PI has a list of the top 10. We've also got a tragic story of a drug dealer murder. And, of course, huge news for 420 Radio and our Fan Friday Trivia Giveaway. Stick around. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Have yourself a great weekend. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.